If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, which means it's the coach approach, which means I'm with my main man, Ant from 49ers Comeback. But today is a little bit of a special day because it is the birthday of the one and only Ant. Birthday, man. How you doing? I'm so happy to be here and celebrate with you. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Excited to come on here and talk. I don't know if there's anything I'd rather be doing on my birthday. I kind of like it, just enjoy talking 49ers and getting to spend time with the faithful and you, John. I think this is a perfect episode for my birthday. I'm looking forward to it. And time goes by fast. You got to enjoy all the moments that you have.
Dude, that's well said. And, you know, I do want to just take a second, and I see this in the chat as well. You know, Marshawn Nyland, you know, we were just months ago going through, you know, draft write-ups of this guy and, you know, kind of what that was. And we cover football, and that is our job. That is what we choose to spend our time doing. But the humanity of all of this and what people go through, all those things, reach out if you are struggling. You do not have to go through things alone. You do not have to go through things alone. But, yeah, RIP to Marshawn Nyland and just all those involved. And, you know, sadly, I have a lot of experience with that in my family, and a lot of people going to be going through some hard times. So just reach out to your loved ones always. And whether you're feeling great or you think things are great, take the time to just reach out. It's a big deal. So today, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about 49ers Rams. I would argue, I think that there are two kind of cataclysmic important games left on the schedule. You've got this week, week 10 versus the Rams. You got week 18 against the Seahawks. Those two games, man, 49ers win one or two of those. I think they're playoff bound. Where are you in relation of, okay, this Rams game, how important is this to the last seven games remaining on the season for the 49ers? Eight games.
I think it could set the tone, because if they win this game, they're 4-0 in the division, they're 7-3 on the season, and they're sitting in the catbird seat, in my opinion. I mean, that would be looking really good. A winnable game the next week against Arizona, that would make them 5-0 in the division, and that's just unheard of. I don't think that a loss to the Rams is like cataclysmic. I don't think it's terrible for them. This is a very good football team, and I don't think this is going to, you know, do anything to like set the 49ers way back. But I do think it makes things a little bit more difficult winning the NFC West. But the Rams have some tough games still. They've got to play Seattle. They've got to play a lot of the tough teams that are still on their number one. This is what happens when you finish first in your division. You got to play a number one schedule, and they still have that. And so they got tough games remaining. So I don't think it's easy for them either. This is a pretty pivotal game to see how the pendulum swings for both teams and where they position in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and yeah, you look at the Rams. I mean, they have not played. They've only played one division game. That was against us, and they lost. They only played three conference games. They're 1-2 because they lost to the Eagles and to the 49ers. Like, and again, you 49ers, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and then Carolina. Like, that is a four game. Who would have guessed we'd be throwing Carolina around with those? But Carolina is turning into a well-coached, quality offense, defensive team that has, you know, quality trench play. You're going to find out what it is that these two teams are made of. And, you know, I'm not a big power rankings guy at all. I don't really care, because the schedule and the results of the schedule kind of take you to where you are. The old Parcells thing, you are what your, you know, your record says you are. But the NFL put out power rankings, and number one was Seattle, and number two was the Rams in the entire NFL. So the NFC West, no joke, it is absolutely off the charts this year. I thought the worst division in the NFL possibly last year. This year, not even close. Is there any other division? You know, I'm pulling up my standing sheet right now. Like, is there any other division currently in the NFL that you think rivals the NFC West? And I put you on the spot. That one in our notes. So if you ain't got time to answer, I feel bad about this. Happy birthday. Yeah. Surprise, baby.
Yeah. I mean, normally, right, you would look at the usual suspects like the AFC West. They're normally really good. They got a couple good teams of Kansas City, Denver, Chargers, kind of fringy with them. AFC North is not as good as it usually is. NFC North, they're pretty good, depending on, you know, what you're going to get from J.J. McCarthy. I think they're an interesting team with the Vikings. You've got Green Bay, who has been hit and miss this year. But I do think that, you know, those teams are pretty good. I don't know if they rival the NFC West, though, right now. The NFC West has three of the top teams in the NFC with the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers. I mean, there's no mistake. These teams are legit. These are teams that can roll into any stadium and absolutely put a whooping on somebody. And I don't think you get that from the other divisions. I think you get hit and miss competitive football teams, but not teams like this.
Yeah, and again, you look at the NFC North, they have 3 5-win teams. NFC West has 3 6-win teams. They are kind of putting it on everybody. And so, yeah, it's interesting in the way that this goes. Now, the thing that's weird, did you know the 49ers 7 weeks straight have alternated wins and loss? Like 7 straight weeks, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss for 7 straight weeks. Now, if the 49ers just kept that pace, that would put them at that kind of 10-7, 11-6, you know, threshold. And even though the NFC West is, or the NFC is stacked, with their conference record, with their division record, I think 10 wins is enough to get into the playoffs. And I think, let's channel this a little bit in the fact that, look, the 49ers have already matched their win total from last year. Already. Through 10 weeks, they have 6 wins. That's all they had last year. So you have to be pleased with that. Now, no moves at the trade deadline. Little bit of a, the 49ers fans felt it. You look at the DMs, the emails, the comments on social media. 49ers fans were really hoping to get a little bit more help. What is the message? What is it being said by this front office and coaching staff to kind of sit at that trade deadline and be like, you know what? We're just going to kind of stay with what we got.
I think that, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan kind of conveyed that they weren't going to overpay. I mean, John Lynch said on KNBR today, we're not going to get fleeced. And I think that's a good way to look at it. If they're asking too much for a player, yeah, you want your team to get better, but you don't want to overpay and mortgage a future that you feel like you're building towards having another pretty good run. As you've got a lot of young players that are contributing to your football team. You made a deal last week and got Keon White, right? It wasn't on the trade deadline. If you moved it to the trade deadline, everyone would be like, hey, they made a move. But because it happened last week, it's not really on everyone's mind. So I think that everyone was expecting it. I know I was expecting a move. I didn't think it was going to be anything big, but maybe something subtle. I do think they were in on Jermaine Johnson, but I would not have traded a second round pick for Jermaine Johnson. We know I said I would for McDonald, but not for Jermaine Johnson, two different kinds of players. And so it's a different situation. 1.5 years, you don't do it. So I thought that they did a pretty good job of showing poise and not going too far and too deep into this thing. They'll wait. They'll see what happens. Maybe they'll do something else to improve this team. Asante Samuel Jr. coming into town on Monday. Maybe that's a difference and something they could do to kind of bolster their defense. But ultimately, it wasn't what everyone wanted. But I think that they made the right move. It's prudence, and they did a really good job with it.
I was big. You know, I was recording with Wayne on Tuesday, and he was like, dude, let's give a second round for Quinnen Williams. I was like, well, if you could give a second rounder for Quinnen Williams, I would do that. I think Quinnen Williams could have cost a first round plus. You try to do that. But, man, he cost a first, a second, and a former second round pick. Like, they paid out the rear end, and I'm all for not overpaying, not with this team. I really like it. So, like, here's kind of the thing. Like, obviously, the Fred Warner injury, you have the Nick Bosa injury, now you have the Mykal Williams injury, you have the Yetur Gross-Matos injury. Like, you have some major issues on that defensive line. Now, I'm curious, and shout out to my man Ben, we were talking about this through email, NY Niners. What if that Keon White trade happened at the trade deadline? Would that have been enough to placate the 49ers mass mob of anger? Is it the timing that is off? You got Cleveland Farrell, got a sack last week. You traded for Keon White, had the best pass rush grade of the 49ers on the team. That's not saying much.
The holidays are upon us. And who in your family is the hardest to shop for during the holidays? Is it kids, partners, parents, in-laws? Well, Cozy Earth is a gift that they'll truly appreciate. We started with their sheets, and let me just tell you, I'm a super hot sleeper. The wife is exact opposite. Multiple blankets, dog curled up at her feet, whatever else. We went with Cozy Earth sheets. Both of us slept wonderful. It is absolutely off the charts. And here's what's crazy. They're promoting a 100-night refund, meaning you get the sheets, you can wash them, use them, wash them again, whatever else. 100 nights. If you don't like them, then you can return them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to return them because they're just such high quality. And they stand behind their products. 10-year warranty. So once you feel the level of comfort, you'll want it to last a decade. And if something goes wrong, they'll take care of you. So Black Friday has come early at Cozy Earth. Right now, you can stack my code, 49ersRush, no spaces, 49ERS, RUSH, on top of the site-wide sale, giving you up to 40% off in savings. That's CozyEarth.com, code 49ersRush, for up to 40% off in savings. These deals won't last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the 49ers Rush podcast. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how quick and easy it is. You pick two stats, more or less. If they hit, you get paid. George Kittle, more or less than 49.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more or less than 65.5 rush yards. It's that simple. Plus, you play Prize Picks to get action on football in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. So download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But is it just the timing that's off with the 49ers acquisitions? Or for the naysayers, the sky is falling people, do you think that the Niners are just kind of like, hey, this is a rebuild year? We said younger and cheaper 100 times throughout the draft, throughout the offseason. We're not going to sacrifice draft capital for the future for this year, which is already, yeah, we're 6-3. But let's be honest, injuries galore. Should we kind of calm down with our expectations this year? Or do you just shrug your shoulders and next man up?
I mean, we're rooting for the San Francisco 49ers. Expectations every year are Super Bowl or bust. I mean, that's just what
it's been. You got gold in your colors. You expect great things.
Right? 100%. Every year they expect to win a Super Bowl. And nothing different here. Yeah, we knew that this year was going to be a little bit more difficult with some of the roster, a lot of the rookies they were going to have to count on. And then you look at the schedule, and the schedule was favorable. So you thought they could have a good season. And of course, when you have Fred Warner and you have Nick Bosa, and you have some of the players that you have on defense, you feel like they can get it done with the addition of Robert Saleh. I think that's what got everyone's attention. You know, I think Bobo was correct. He was saying that, you know, with the trade happening before the Mikal Williams injury, that's what really makes this more difficult, is you lose Mikal Williams, so you're expecting the 49ers to make another move to bolster that defensive line, and they're just waiting. They're waiting on it. It's going to be Bryce Huff. Eventually, Etor Gross-Matos will come back, and that's kind of the defensive line you're going to put out there. So you've got to see steady improvement from guys like Sam Okwuanu. You've got to get some production from Keon White. You're going to have to sprinkle in some Cleveland Farrell, and Robert Saleh is going to have to find out how he can pressure with five or less and still get pressure on. Now, I do believe the Bryce Huff move was very important for the 49ers, him being able to come back. I mean, I think that he's going to add a lot to this team. And when he's out there, he does give them an element that defenses have to worry about. That speed rush, he's a killer for anyone. I can guarantee you right now the Rams are concerned about Bryce Huff coming off the edge.
Yeah, that's huge. The call's coming from inside the house. Like you have the resources available. You just got to get them off IR or that injury report. Like, you are getting back Ricky Pearsall, maybe one day. You're getting back your quarterback one, maybe one day. Bryce Huff, Etor Gross-Matos, maybe one day. Like, there are reinforcements arriving, and you saw the difference between the left guard spot. Man, Spencer Burford comes in, and probably, you know, it's not fair to Connor Colby, who's a seventh-round rookie. Like, you got to understand, put that in context. But when Spencer Burford came in, Connor Colby's issue back at Iowa in the draft all season has been all those stunts that have come his way. Spencer Burford, his athletic and redirection, that sudden redirection that guards have to have, it was just like, and not that Spencer Burford was amazing, but what has been the offense's Achilles heel with all those stunts, those TEs, those ETs, you know, those linebacker blitzes through the B gap, completely shut down for the most part. And so even somebody like Spencer Burford, who I don't think people would consider a quote unquote big name, was able to solidify one of the biggest issues on this 49ers roster and 49ers offense. So now the question goes to, well, Ben Bartsch has been practicing for weeks. If he gets activated, which I do expect, who is your left guard, Ant? We have to talk offensive line. It's Ant's birthday. Come on, man. Give the man a present.
Yeah, you know, I think that with Jake Brendel's kind of injury up in the air, whether he comes back, this is one of those situations.
We're going to talk about that next, by the way.
Yeah, there's a situation where Nick Sakel, I believe he's out of elevation, so they can't elevate him. So really, they need to bring back Ben Bartsch if Jake Brendel's not available, because he'll be the backup center behind Matt Hennessy, which brings the bigger question. When you looked at what the 49ers did with Zakel a couple weeks ago, once Brendel went down, they were like, wait a second, we can't have Zakel out there for all the snaps. We can't afford to lose him. He's our backup. So what do they do with Ben Bartsch if he's the backup? I think what it might mean is we see a rotation at left guard. We've seen Spencer Burford be very, very good when he's a part of a rotation. That is where he excelled the most, because he didn't have as many snaps. He could go to the sideline. Chris Foerster could talk to him about what they're looking at, and they could really stay together. And then Bartsch has been consistent. I think Bartsch has proven to be the better left guard right now through what we've seen so far. But I kind of like both those guys. And then it also limits the snap of Ben Bartsch as he's reacclimating to this offense as well. I think a rotation would kind of be a good thing. So I'm into it for both of these guys, though. It's a massive improvement over Connor Colby, and I don't want to hate on Connor Colby. It's just these guys have been in the league for a while. They understand what they're looking at. They know what the system is. They've been coached by Chris Foerster, and you could see it. You know, you've got Spencer Burford. He's helping out over here with Matt Hennessy. His eyes are over here making sure he's protecting his left tackle so he can pick up somebody on an inside stunt. That didn't happen with Connor Kobe, who would laser lock on the guys. So it's just a big-time difference between the two. And the Giants did not shy away from coming after Spencer Burford. Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, they put them all inside on him. And for the most part, he held up. And so that's really big for this 49ers offensive line.
Yeah, and man, it's my thing was just watching a capable, the change at center and left guard. That's all that changed. And can we talk about how good Dominique Pooney has been since 61 has been center? The players around you matter, right? We always used to talk about the Trent Williams effect, like, and Aaron Banks, like, dude, he just elevated his play. But when 61 has got in there and you watch, Matt Hennessy had to play against Dexter Lawrence pretty much the whole damn game. He had one tackle. And it's not like he won every rep or dominated him. I don't want to go that long. But how many times have we seen Jake Brendel dominated by a powerful defensive tackle that just wrecks the entire offensive line? Man, the Giants' entire game plan was Dexter Lawrence is going to wreck their offensive run game. One tackle. So why shake it up? Like, I'm just like, dude, keep this as is. Allow Ben Bartsch some more time. I'd like to bring Jake Brendel back, but not to start. Like, you kind of do the Brock Purdy, hey, man, you're back, but not back. But back, but not back. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to give you some time here. How do you handle this if Jake Brendel is back healthy versus what you've seen from Matt Hennessy at center?
I think Hennessy's played really well. You know, I think that you can kind of look at a couple weeks ago, and I think the whole line kind of struggled in the matchup with the Houston Texans, but I thought that Matt Hennessy played good. I just don't know. And me personally, maybe I would probably go to Matt Hennessy, right? I think that he's played well enough. He's a younger guy. You could go with Matt Hennessy, see what he could do the rest of the season. I believe he showed stability. That's not what I think Chris Forrester is going to do. I think when Jake Brendel is capable and ready, Jake Brendel is going to be reinserted into the center position, and they're going to roll with him. And I don't know if that's the right decision, but we do know that Matt Hennessy's played well. And so it is a tough situation because you're right. Dominic Pooney is playing the best that he's played this season. I think when you looked at Trent Williams, it was his best game that he's had this season. And that is because of the surrounding parts, cohesiveness with an offensive line. Trent Williams and Spencer Burford, they have a synergy, something we haven't seen from him since Aaron Banks was there. Him and Banks really work good together, and Burford works out with Trent Williams all the time. You can see in the game,
Houston.
Trent Williams is Houston. Trent Williams over there whispering to Spencer Burford, and Burford's taking care of business. That comfort's huge for an offensive lineman. I understand my guy's going to do his part. So it's a big thing, but I still believe that Forrester, when push comes to shove, it's going to be Jake Brendel. Now, I think I'm with you. I don't know if it's this week. I think it might take a little bit of time, and that's why I do think that you're going to get Ben Bartsch reactivated this week, probably in the Mikel Williams spot as they put him on IR.
And, you know, you go back to that week three matchup against the Rams, and you saw Brendel just get abused by Puna Ford, you know, Kobe Turner, just destroy, which, let's be honest, Puna Ford's top five defensive tackle in the NFL. Like, he's destroying everybody. PFF grades, film grades, analytic grades, whatever, run set, like, whatever. That dude's killer. But, like, who's better, Dexter Lawrence or Puna Ford? This year maybe Puna Ford. But why, like, we've already seen Jake Brendel get destroyed by this front multiple times throughout his career. Why not try? And I'm not here to say that I think Matt Hennessy's the answer and I want to do an extension and this is the guy. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying that the offensive line is playing with cohesion, passion, and fight. They're pushing, you know, the pile. They're blocking downfield. They're locking onto their blocks. Everything has improved since 61's got in there. And it wasn't all roses. You look at that Texans game, not a great game, but good Lord. It just seems so simple to me. And I love this comment from Mark. What's up, man? He says, had Hennessy been better than Brendel, let the meritocracy decide. That's been my biggest issue with Chris Forrester. And at times, Kyle Shanahan, where he goes with this Shanahan loyalty program, and they will play players that are not DFF, right? Like, dude, why was DFF ever playing? You just played against them last week for the Giants, and you took advantage of them the entire week, the entire game plan. You went right at them. Sometimes they lock into these guys that are quote unquote their guys. And I think every team has this problem. Man, are the 49ers a meritocracy? And if they are, you got to stay with Hennessy. You got to. What message does that send to the room? And I know Brock's his best friend and they play golf together and roommates. I don't care. I don't care. I want the better team out there. So let's say this. I want a 2-week projection. Who starts at center and left guard this week, and who starts at center and guard left guard the following week? And I want you to tell me what to expect here.
Yeah, I think that Matt Hennessy is going to start at center this week. I don't think they'll make too many moves. And then I think that they're going to go with the rotation. I think that it'll be Burford and Bartsch. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to rotate those two guys at left guard. I think Burford will get the start, and then Bartsch will rotate in. I don't know what kind of snaps we're looking at. I think it'll be more than what you got from Nick Zakel when he was kind of doing a rotation with Connor Kobe. But I think that'll be their way of kind of breaking him back in and getting him used to playing again. And then I think the following week against the Arizona Cardinals, I fully expect it to be Jake Brendel, and I fully expect it to be Ben Bartsch, who takes the starting job at left guard. They go back to their original starting lineup with Spencer Burford doing some of the rotations and him going back to more focusing on left tackle, which I'm not sure is overall the best decision, but I think that's what they could be doing.
I like it. So next up, I'm pretty excited because I want to talk about, again, you played the Rams already week 3. Now you got them week 10. One of the biggest issues week 3, what you did win in overtime, was running the ball effectively. So we're going to talk about what changes can be made to make the 49ers offense run the ball well right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, I think I misspoke earlier. I said week 3. They played the Rams week 5 and week 10, so sorry about that. Mistake. Chalk that one up on me. But the Rams defense, by far, unbelievable this year. They've given up 11th most rushing yards, but the fewest rushing touchdowns in the NFL. They are leading in that category, only 2. The 49ers had 74 yards rushing against them in week 5. What are some of the things that you see different now with the 49ers offense going into week 10 against this Rams D?
George Kittle. I mean, that's about as quickly as I can say it. George Kittle is going to make a huge difference in this game, because one of the ways that you can take advantage of that 3-4 defense, especially how the Rams run it with those outside linebackers up at the line of scrimmage and that 5-man look, is to get movement on those guys. And they weren't able to get enough movement with Farrell and with Tonjes. And Tonjes was needed because he was catching the ball like crazy. He had 7 catches in that game. He was killing them because Landman and Omar Spates aren't the best coverage guys, so you had opportunities there. But George Kittle has really helped solidify this offense. Him and Kyle Juszczyk are blocking in tandem together. It's been very nice. And I think that's where you start finding the advantage. Byron Young has an advantage over Colt McKivitz when it comes to pass rush. He does not have an advantage over him when it comes to run blocking. This is where they need to attack. They need to go after Byron Young every time he's out there. They need to go after Braden Fisk, wherever they can find him, start hitting him with some of those traps and things like that, take advantage of him. So I think that there are advantages this time. And if you go back and you watch that film, Omar Spates and Landman made really good plays. They were the guys in the hole that made plays. if the 49ers can get off their blocks as offensive linemen and get to the second level, the run game is going to open wide open, and I think the 49ers can take advantage of it. But you're right. The Rams' defense has been getting better and better and better. They're really good on third down. They're really good in the red zone, and they're one of the top scoring defenses in the entire NFL, because if they get you to third down, they just come after you with Jared Verse and Byron Young and Braden Fisk, and it's like, holy cow, they've got a lot of guys that can get after you.
Again, like the philosophical construction, roster construction, could not be more antithetical to each other. Like, I mean, Rams were rushing the passer. The 49ers were stopping the run. And that's just the way these two teams are built. And so if you get in third and long versus Rams defense, you are in trouble. You have to stay ahead of the change, which they did pretty good job of that last week. Now, big difference, you know, play the Giants, who do have a great, you know, pass rush, but they're nothing like the Rams. Yeah, their draft pedigree might be with those, you know, four first-rounders on their defensive line, but no, there's just a big difference. Shout-out to David Gill, one of the show's producers. Facts, this is a George Kittle domination game. And Bucky says, Kittle is by far the biggest difference. I think the broadcast of the Giants game, which I did not get to hear, I was at the game, said when JJ got the TD, it was the only second wide receiver touchdown of the year at that point. Ooh, wow. I did not hear that.
And Juwan Jennings has both.
Wow. And we didn't have Juwan Jennings against the Rams last time either. Nope. So you didn't have that. And shout out to Ben, because I think Luke Farrell has continually put up good tape, good tape, good tape since Kittle's been back. And he was forced to play up. When Kittle got injured, he had to change what he had to do. So, and it didn't work. So then they tried to put Kyle Juszczyk there, but then Juice got hurt. So then they had to put Farrell there again, and it didn't work. And, you know, for the people complaining about Jake Tonch's touches, I don't know if you saw the rep. He only got like four snaps. They put him in for one play for Kittle, and dude got blown, like destroyed, and ruined a play. But that's not what Tonch's is. It's not a criticism to say you can't do what George Kittle does. Even if Tonjes can be good in the receiving game and hands and routes, you're talking one of one in the NFL of guys that can block like Kittle blocks and do all the after the catch and all that stuff. Like, he's one of the best. I think he's the second best all-around tight end in the history of the NFL. Like, I think it goes Gronk one, and it goes Kittle two. Like, and again, obviously there's dialogue there. You want to throw the old hats. I'm cool with that. But Luke Farrell is now a positive player. He's playing up to where he's what you paid him for. He's being, man, probably one of his best games on special teams as well, which special teams is humming as well. So, like, when players have to go above their pay grade and do things that are outside of their purview, outside of their positives, it can become a negative. We saw it with Eric Saubert, you know, last year. We saw it with Luke Farrell this year. But you have Kittle. You have Juwan Jennings, who's starting to block with a little bit more effort, still missing blocks out there, which is really bothering me crazy, but at least you're starting to get a little bit more of the attitude back. So you have George Kittle, you have Juwan Jennings. CMC is looking way better at this point than he was week five. Do the 49ers get over 100 yards rushing versus the Rams this week?
Yeah, I think they do. I think that that's going to be one of their main focuses in this game, is going to be moving the ball on the ground, because they've got to keep Matthew Stafford standing on the sideline. That is their best defense, is Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Devontae Adams chilling over there while you're running the ball up and down the field. And I think that will pay dividends when you get to the fourth quarter. This is another one of those 35 to 40 rush football games where you got to go in there and you got to earn it. It's a black and blue division game. Go get it done. You need to win the time of possession. You need to convert on third and short. And you were right. They got to stay ahead of the sticks every single time if they're going to be successful. And you've got to win in the red zone. 49ers got to score touchdowns. Their red zone offense is trending way up. It's in a way up in a positive direction. They were 4 of 5 last week. They've got to continue that. And if they do, and they are putting up touchdowns, because that was the reason the Rams game was close last time. They started kicking field goals in the second half. If they can get over on Chris Shula's defense with the run game and scoring touchdowns, I think they'll be in it when the game is towards the end.
I like that. And shout out to Alejandro. He says, man, is it crazy to think we could beat the Rams with Kittle and Juwan Jennings actually on the field? Dude, divisional wins are always winnable. Like, I do not care where you are. And you got to look at Kyle Shanahan versus McVay. He's 11-7 against McVay. Now, you're coming off a loss, a rare loss for Kyle Shanahan against one of his former, you know, assistant coaches, DeMeco Ryans. Believe you me, this game matters to Kyle. Big time, big time, big time. Matters to Kyle. Not that they don't, like, not that they all don't, but this is a big one. Like, they're, the two biggest games left on the schedule is this week against the Rams, week 18 against the Seahawks. And if you want that week 18 game against the Seahawks to matter as much as you want it to, you got to win this. You got to win this. Stay perfect in the, you go to 4-0 in the division. Niners can win this game. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And no, the 49ers should not be favored. Like, at all. You're playing against the most healthy team. Did you see the injury report discrepancy?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. It was like a CVS receipt versus, like, I don't know, like you go to like the dentist's office and they give you like one of those tickets that just says 67 and there's like nothing on there. Like, yeah, completely different. Just like healthiest team in the NFL versus the most injured team in the NFL. Like, the 49ers should not be favored. And if you look at the spread, they're 4.5-point underdogs. Ah, but it's a division game and it matters. And the 49ers got to show up for it. So, like, in a sense of just winnability, Ant, how do you look at this for men? Would you be shocked if the 49ers lost by 10? Would you be shocked if the 49ers won by 10?
No, I don't think so. I think both of those situations could happen. I mean, week five, the Rams were favored by 8.5 over the 49ers. And the 49ers, like I said, if they would have finished in the red zone, could have easily been up big on the Rams. And with the Rams having no chance to come back, they still showed the resolve to be able to win. So I think that the 49ers are battle tested. They're going to be a pesky group all season long. Like, you're not going to put these guys down. So for the Rams to win by 10, I think they're going to have their best effort. They're going to have to win the turnover battle. They're going to have to really move the ball on the ground against the 49ers defense and wear them down, or this thing's coming down to the wire, and it's going to be who can make the play at the right moment. In week five, it was the 49ers that made the play every time they needed to make it. This time, the Rams are going to have to do that to be able to overtake the 49ers, but the 49ers still have advantages. Even with all the injuries, they still have advantages against this Rams team, and I think when you look at it, that's why they're in it. And like you brought up, anytime it's a divisional matchup, they all know each other extremely well. They all know each other's strengths, weaknesses. It comes down to execution. It's going to be out there on the field. And if the 49ers out-execute the Rams, they're going to win.
Yeah, I like that. And shout out to Joseph, because I think you have to adjust the way you see the Niners play with their defense. It's up and down. It's not constant. It starts up front. So, Ant, talk to me about who you think is going to be who's starting defensive line moving forward, because we don't know.
Yeah, I think that now Keon White will kind of slide into a starting defensive end role opposite of Sam Okwuonu. I think those guys are going to be your base defensive ends. Keon White will take Mikel Williams' spot as the base down guy. And then one of the, I think a guy who's been flying under the radar, but played so well this year, it's Kalia Davis. And now he's got the big club off of his hand. He's able to use both hands again. And he's always making an impactful play, at least a couple of them every single game, that kind of maybe help you get off the field. Kalia Davis, Jordan Elliott, that is your starting defensive line. And then I think they go back to, hey, pass rush downs. Here comes Bryce Huff, Keon White. You move inside like we used to do with Mikel Williams. Depending on what they decide to do elevation-wise with Cleveland Farrell, maybe you put him on the inside. He's got that ability too. So they've got some flexibility there. I would also like to give a little tiny shout-out to Robert Beal Jr., who I thought showed some life in pass rush, which was nice to see.
Yeah, because you drafted him as a situational pass rusher. Dude could do that to save his life. Then he kind of molded into, okay, you're a run-stuffer special teamer. Maybe he's finally working into it, like an all-around defensive end, which the Niners need big time. I think that's huge. Now, we've got some super chats. We've got some other questions I don't want to get to, but if you go to any games this season, you better be using TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners
Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. Now, if you are going to Arizona in 2 weeks, you got to come party with us. We're going to be out in the Westgate District at Salt Tacos and Tequila, one of our favorite places. We've been there for the past 3 seasons. So Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. And then with the afternoon kickoff, we'll hold our tailgate indoors so we can watch all the early games, which is an absolute blast. Premium drinks, you name it. Go check it out. TickPick app, just search 49ers Rush or go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Now, I do have to say this. There's been a change in the way in which you should buy your game day tickets. In the past, I said always wait till day of. Everybody caught on, probably because I talk about it too much on here. So now the sweet spot is buying your tickets the day before the game because they've started jumping back up morning of and day of the game. So my goal is to save you money. It does me no good to tell everybody this, but I always want people to save money. I'm always fighting against myself. It's what it is, but that's okay. We're a community, and if somebody saves money, I'm freaking happy. So Silent, thank you for the super chat. He says, this was Salah's one year with Salah. I think they blew it. I don't think you're losing Robert Salah after this year. I think Salah's making a ridiculous amount of money. I think Salah wants to see what he could do with Bosa, Warner, all these picks that, you know, he's now, if a perfect head coaching job steps up out there, then sure. But I'm not seeing one of those close to available at this point. Like, and is there a job with the quarterback of it, like a quality quarterback on the roster out there? What are your thoughts about Robert Saleh leaving after year one and what that looks like?
I think that he would have to find the right situation. And, you know, when you're going into your second opportunity, he doesn't want young quarterback. He wants good quarterback. He needs a situation that's made that he can come in, remold the defense, and they can go win football games because this is his last shot. If he fails again, he's going to be a career, defensive coordinator. And he knows that. So it's always about finding the right opportunity. Kyle Shanahan was very, picky when he made his decision. And I think that you saw that with D'Amico Ryans. He knew that he was going to get CJ Stroud and what that was going to look like. And I think the same thing's going to happen this time for Robert Saleh. There's a chance he's there unless the right job opens. But even then, a lot of these teams are looking for offensive minds, not defensive minds. So the defensive jobs are a little bit harder to find out there, but it could happen because, you know, the league, you just never know. But the one thing is the 49ers are prepared for this, right? They've got Gus Bradley waiting and wait just in case Robert Saleh does move on. But I hope Robert Saleh is here for at least one more year. That would be great for this football team.
Yeah, Ben says, you know, I think Saleh is going to be very picky this time. I mean, he's getting paid. I think he's making as much money as, like, the Arizona Cardinals head coach. And he's happy here. He's been here a lot of his career. It's easy. Like, I don't want to say it's easy, but, like, there ain't no way he's going back to the Giants in New York. There's no way he's doing that crap. There's no way he's going to Tennessee. Like, you've got to have an established quarterback before he goes anywhere. So in the current climate, I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. I think he's coming back. And so take that for whatever you want. Oh, look at this Sin trying to help people out. Parking tickets should be purchased early. They go up higher closer to game day. There you go. I always Uber because we're throwing parties and drinking and whatnot. But yeah, thank you, Sin. I did not know that. And I always tell people, like, when the schedule comes out, I buy my hotels or Airbnbs, and I buy my airline tickets early. I wait to get game tickets late. Always, always, always. So take that for what you will. Rusty, the man, he says, hello, Ant and John. He's on a train outside of Berlin for the NFL Europe weekend. He went over from New York to Europe, which I think is awesome. And Ben says, you know, Rams are playing as well as anyone. Doesn't mean we can't put together a win, though. Dude, these are rivals. They are rivals. Now, I'm curious, what is the hate meter for Ant? Give me the birthday hate list for NFL teams. Give me your top three most hated teams in the NFL. I'm curious because Ant's so positive and nice. I don't even know if he uses the word hate, but Who do you dislike the most? Is that the better way to phrase it?
Yeah, there's a few teams, you know, and the Rams are definitely one of those. They're in the top three. I think they're a legit division rival. They're one that hasn't changed, and I just always have kind of disliked, you know, that
dislike
group down
that was
there.
The word.
Yeah. Yeah, hate is there. I can hate. I can be hate haters ball. We can do that here in the house. Yeah, so them for sure. The Dallas Cowboys. I cannot stand the Dallas Cowboys. I hope they lose every single week that they play. It's just I can't do it with them. And then this one, you know, I think it's probably me because I grew up in a certain time and period is the New York Giants. I do not like the New York Giants. I did not like the Big Tuna. I didn't like Mark Bavaro and his stupid face. I did not like the way that they played. Like, they were a really good team. I get it, but I did not like them. So they're in my top three. Then after that, it's kind of the new rivals, you know, Seattle, Kansas City, like those teams kind of come after that. But those ones at the top for sure.
Oh, there we go. Cowboys one for me, Seahawks two, Rams three, Giants four, and then Eagles probably five, Chiefs six. Like, I hate the Chiefs, but I don't know. We got two games, those two games. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I digress. Look at this. Bobo saying, man, Sam Darnold might win MVP thanks to JSN. Sam Darnold is currently fifth in odds to win. So Josh Allen one, Drake May two, Patrick Mahomes three, Stafford four, Sam Darnold five. Man, you want to go bet that? Head over to my bookie. If you had to pick an early candidate for MVP that you think is going to win, is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's like 12th on this list. Jonathan Taylor's like 10th. Ugh. This is gross. I don't like any of this. Nobody should win it.
I think it's Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen. I think those two guys are in the mix right now. Matthew Stafford, if they continue to win, and I hope they don't, I hope they lose this week and then, you know, struggle the rest of the season. But a 21-2 when it comes to touchdown to interception ratio, I mean, he's killing his completion percentage is up there close to 70. He's just really having a good season. And this is a guy that was supposed to have a bad back. Coming into the year, but he's kind of carrying that offense right now, and he's got the weapons, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua. I do think that Josh Allen's a little bit more high profile, even though he's in Buffalo, so I think he would probably get the nod if the numbers are close because, you know, he kind of has those big games against Patrick Mahomes and at some of these other teams in the AFC, but I think it's a two-man race right now between those two.
Yeah, there we go. Joe asked this, what's up with CJ West? Like, you need defensive linemen. He was so promising in training camp. What do you think, man? CJ West, what's going on there?
Well, the 49ers were having a pass rush issue. CJ West is not right now a really good pass rusher. Kevin Givens is a better pass rusher from history. Now, he hasn't been doing a great job right now, but I think that was the thought process. Let's get our pass rushes. Kalia Davis, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens, those guys had to help. Alfred Collins has shown some ability with some of the things that he's done. So CJ West just became a healthy scratch, especially with a lot of the focus having to go to the 49ers defensive end position where there were so many injuries. You lose guys like Bryce Huff, you know, and that unit there, and you've got to find production in other ways. And one way to do it was Kevin Givens, because they definitely don't have him out there to stop the run.
Yeah, I like that. And anything that we're missing, I would hate to depart from this show on your birthday if there was something that was bearing on your mind that we did not get off.
No, it's not bearing. Nothing's bearing on my mind except the 49ers need to go get a big win against the Rams this weekend and you know, go ahead and put their stamp on the NFC West. I think if they win this week, it's going to be very tough for the Seahawks and Rams to come back and win the division because they play each other. They still got to play Arizona. I think that they lose some tough games, and I think the 49ers could be right in the mix. So this is a big pivotal game. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. But it is a big pivotal game. The 49ers can take complete control. They already had control of the NFC West. They can take complete control the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, all you got to do is just take care of business. You put yourself in position to handle everything. You're already at the amount of wins you finished last season with at week 9. So, man, even if you continue this pace of win-loss, win-loss, win-loss throughout the year, I think you make the playoffs if you get the right wins. This one, more important than any. If I had to say it, I would say Rams number one, Seattle Seahawks number two, most important games left this year. And I want to say thank you for your time, all you do for the community. Happy birthday to you, man. Hopefully you get some great Mexican food later on tonight with the family. And just want to say thank you to everybody else out there. Stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.